Hey, that's just dads who try, dog. That's just dads who try. Team no sleep, baby. Dads who try.
All right, Tommy, here we go. We're back with another episode of Dads Who Try.
This is episode 58, Nate.
This is, wow, 58.
Yeah.
With Tommy and Nate.
You want me to start rhyming, I can tell. When you said 58 and Nate, I can tell that you're trying to go there.
Hey, whatever you want to do with it.
I'm going to leave that up to you, because what people don't realize is that you're a man of many gifts.
I have a few gifts.
You're a great communicator. You're a great father.
Okay.
You're a great friend.
Wow.
But you're also a great rapper.
Don't
be like that guy that's like, no, man, I'm not really that good.
You're good, man. You want me to rap
right
now?
Give the people what they want.
On episode 58?
Yes.
Okay, give me a beat.
No, it's a cappella.
A cappella rap?
Yes.
All right.
A man of many gifts. Go.
Yo, it's Dads You Try, episode 58. Tommy and Nate, there's no debate that we're on the best. Gotta get something off my chest. Yeah, we're better than the rest. Yo, this flow is about to... Yeah, that's all I got. That's so bad, Tommy.
I thought you were about to really go there, bro, for a hot second. I did.
There's no beat.
No, I know.
But that doesn't matter, because my rhymes are undefeated. Look at me over here. I'm about to get yeeted. No, I'm just playing. My wife's not home, so I think I'm okay. About to get some... Hey, welcome to episode 58.
That's so good, though. I love that stuff.
It's so bad, though. It's not even
good.
Dude,
stop, man.
Have you seen this guy, Connor Price?
Dude, have I seen him? I've seen him in a coffee shop like a month ago.
Yeah, we saw Connor Price
in
a coffee shop. And I'm not going to lie, I was fanboying a little bit.
Yeah, I remember that, because you came out with one of our coworkers, and you're like, bro, Connor Price is in there. You need to go take a look.
I mean, maybe I did.
You did.
But here's the thing, okay? And I think this is just good, okay? If you see a celebrity, I don't know if Connor Price counts as a celebrity, but I mean,
he's a
celebrity. This is just my philosophy. I want to be someone's friend, not a fan.
Yeah.
And so, like, if I'm not your friend and I see you in public and I know you, I'm probably not going to come up and be like, oh, hey, Connor Price.
Hey, man. Great work, bro. Yeah, big, big fan, man.
Now, with that being said, if you see Tommy or I in public, we do want you to come up and say hi.
Yeah, because, I mean... because
we're not celebrities.
We're not celebs. And
we're just a couple dads who try.
Yeah, I would say this. I think there's a couple occasions where that could be okay. Now, this man was definitely diligent in his work that day, and so he had headphones on,
yes,
which is the sign.
The international sign of do not disturb me is if you have headphones on.
Yeah, like, clearly, he's on business.
Yeah.
He's, like, rolling, you know? So, yeah, therefore, I'm not hitting that,
No.
Hey, man, like, big fan. Can you take off your headphones for a second and... take a picture, even.
Yeah, hey, I know that you're behind a booth. Can you please take off your headphones and slide out from behind that table and come get a picture? It's like, no, we can't. Yeah. We can't be those people.
Or, like, if someone's, like, in conversation, I think.
Correct.
Like, I remember seeing James Franco one time at the Grove here in Los Angeles. Mm. And he was meeting at this specific space always on the same day, once a week. And I'm pretty sure he was, like, whether it was his friend or someone he was trying to get counsel from, but it looked like a deep conversation, and people started to recognize him a little bit. I noticed, because I was working at Zara at the time.
Yep.
And bro, here I am, watching this whole thing go down, and there's a couple of ladies, older ladies, that recognize him, and so they're like, "Hey, like, do you, can I get a picture?" This man's probably like deep session and like halfway through therapy or something like that.
Jeez.
And so the guy is like trying to be so polite, and he gently declines. He did.
Hey, good for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Gently.
Yeah, he did. He wasn't like rude.
Yeah, he was just, hey, nice all the time.
Wrong setting.
Yeah.
You
know who I saw? I saw a celebrity once in public.
Who?
And he was the coolest looking human being I've ever seen in my life.
That's a big statement.
I'm not lying. Like, I saw him and I was like, I've seen you on the cover of GQ. I've seen you at the Grammys. And you look cool, but... you look like the coolest human being in the world right now in person. I saw ASAP Rocky at a Blue Bottle.
Stop.
Yep. ASAP Rocky himself. I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
He was just there. He had a dog. a little Frenchie, I think. And he was sitting down having coffee and he left. And I was like, that is the coolest dude I've ever seen in my life.
Was he married at the time?
I'm not sure. He was by himself.
Yeah.
Like he didn't have like an entourage or nothing. Yep, he was just chilling with his dog, ASAP. Drinking like a little cappuccino or something like that.
What a name.
ASAP Rocky.
What a name.
You know what? I would probably be like ASAP Diaper or something like that.
Why would he be diapers?
Because I'm a dad who changes diapers. Not anymore, but I used to.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, but I've been changing diapers since I was 15. Shout out to my dad, dementia. Anyways,
what? That's a crazy segue ever. Why is your name ASAP Diapers? Yeah, man, I started changing diaper when I was 15. Yeah, your siblings, right? No, my dad. Holy cow, dude! Well, you guys, this is Friday content.
Yeah, we'll get into another episode on the dementia episode. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Like the dementia episode. I forgot all about it. Dude, see what I did there?
You can't say that, man.
For context, for those of you who don't know, I grew up with my dad. My dad was great. And then when I was young, he started having seizures. And then he got dementia, or early onset dementia. By the time I was a teenager, he was pretty much a different person. And, you know, I had to change his diapers and kind of take care of him from then on. But my mom and I, not just me, but...
Yeah. Dude, yeah, I wish I had that problem where I had to change my dad's diapers when I was 15. Actually, he left when I was 10, so I couldn't even change his diaper.
Look, this is pretty dark, but I don't know which one would be worse, bro. I don't know if my dad leaving at 10... or my dad being physically present, but his brain leaving at 10.
Yeah. You guys, listen, if you guys don't know the history between Nate and I, we are two dads now that are happily married, not to each other. We have our own families here.
Yeah, wives.
We have a wife.
You have a wife, I have a wife.
Yes, exactly.
We don't have our own kids.
Exactly. We don't believe that. but... Anyways, we now have kids, and we're trying to raise good kids, but we didn't have, we just didn't have good father figures growing up, to be honest with you.
Right.
My dad left when I was 10. Nate's dad had dementia, and so we laugh and joke about these things, and as Nate said, it can get dark sometimes.
Yeah.
But we have navigated to the best of our abilities to become great dads, or trying to be.
Have you heard this phrase before, Tommy? That you can tell someone's healed from it when they can laugh at it.
No, I haven't heard of that. I've heard some, obviously, similar kind.
Paraphrase.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so true. And you got to make light of the things that,
Can we just go back to these celebrities real quick?
Yeah.
So Taylor Swift comes around. She's selling out venues like crazy.
Yeah.
She's got the Swifties.
Yeah, she's got the Swifties.
Right. What are Bieber people called again?
Beliebers.
Beliebers. Right, Bieber comes by, he sells out stuff. He's got believers. Who are some other big fan bases? Drakeys.
Yeah, I don't know if
Drakesters.
Yeah, there's like armies, of like celebrity fans that
Who are the Billie Eilish ones?
Yeah, I don't know.
Lady Gaga has the Little Monsters.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And these fandoms. Literally, in my opinion, it seems fanatic, right?
Yeah.
Like, they'll wait outside of a hotel, they'll follow him around.
Track
their planes. Taylor Swift had to change her flights and stuff because her private plane got a tracker on it or something like that. And the behavior of these fans are so crazy that how much they'd put, their life is dependent upon some celebrity's life, the joy, the interesting things going on. All they can do is talk about their, their celebrities that they're obsessed with.
Yeah.
But like, truly, and I promise I'm going to tie this in. I had a horrible segue earlier, but like, that's our kids. Like your sons, I walked home with you the other day, and we get to your house, and your sons are waiting on your balcony, like believers, like Swifties, but like for Tommy, for Dad.
Yeah.
And as soon as we turn the corner, as soon as they can see us, we're a distance away. You just hear, "Dada!" These kids are freaking out, losing their minds. They want to follow you. They want to be around you.
Yeah.
They're fanatical about you. Hmm. And same with my kids. As soon as I get home, my kids, "Dad!" And they run up. And it's the greatest feeling in the world.
Yeah.
When you get home to have people want you. And it's also a big responsibility.
Yeah, it is.
And I think as dads, we should realize, like, we are the, maybe not all of us, unfortunately, but we hold so much influence in our home. Like, our kids, they look at us like celebrities.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not as celebrities, but they are our biggest fans.
Hmm.
You know, they're waiting for us to get home. Dad, tell me about this. I have a question about this. What about this? Why do you do that? You know, my kids, I'll be like, hey, why are you doing that? He's like, well, I saw you do it.
Yeah.
You know, they are fanatical about us.
Yeah.
And it just makes me have a sense of, like, I want to be an example that my kids, even when they're adults, they look at my life and they go, like, I want to follow that.
Yeah. You said it so well. Like, it's been such a, this last season of my life, I've been thinking about that so much, bro. And it's, like, dictated a lot of my decisions, to be honest with you. And it's making me reconsider so many other things. And I think, like, you know, when I was laughing so hard, bro, when we were walking home the other day. And not only they were screaming my name, they were screaming for you. You know, you are. Yeah, he's my oldest son, who just loves you, bro, is just such a, I look at his life and I'm like, he's like a sponge right now. Anything we say, anything we do, you know, anything he watches on screen, sometimes we notice that he'll start doing. We had a music video. It was like a, you know, worship, something like that,
yeah,
if you will, on screen. And, you know, the people in the church were like lifting their hands. And, you know, I noticed this last week, him and his little brother, Ali, have been lifting up their hands anytime they hear, like, or they see those videos. And, and like the moment we walked through these doors, you know, after we saw him from the balcony, I came up, bro, and they were just attacking me. And they would run up to their mom and they're like, Dad is home. Dad is home.
Yep.
And dude, a constant reminder to me daily, because anytime I do come home, or like even after we record this podcast, when I get home, they're going to do that same thing.
Right.
And I'm just reminded, man, that we have such a responsibility to live a life that we got to have some weight to the way that we live.
Right.
Maybe some kind of like conviction, if you will. And you may be like us who didn't maybe have the right upbringing. You know, there was a time in my life where I thought a lot of things were unfair, but I'm also reminded that I now have an opportunity. Do I want to continue to feel sad for myself or feel bad for myself or for what I've, you know, had to maybe walk into? You could do that and waste a lot of time, or you can pick up from, you know, what you have and try to make the most of what you have with these kids that are still now a part of your life. And, you know, I know that there are dads, you know, that I've talked to recently who feels like, man, like, is it too late?
Right.
Well, I think that's all subjective, to be honest with you.
Mm.
I really do.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I don't think there's ever a late start time. I think you could always have an opportunity. I mean,
hold on. I got to challenge that, because, like, what about you and your dad?
Yeah,
your relationship isn't perfect, but, like, if you're down, like, your dad came back into your life recently.
And I had the opportunity to be like, bro, I'm good.
Yeah.
I really did. And I remember for the longest time, I was so upset at this guy, and I didn't even realize it. In my early teens, I think I had, like, some anger stuff that I didn't realize that kind of came out later. And, but I remember just saying to myself, you know, because I truly believe in forgiveness. I, you know, I would think that I'm a forgiving person. I try not to hold on to too much. I don't like feeling angry all the time at people. Right. It's just a weight that I'm not choosing to carry.
No one wants to feel like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And so, of course, I think, you know, there's just a time and a place. And it happened to be that when he did come back into my life, I just knew that I wasn't sure if I was ever going to talk to him again, because it came so suddenly and so weird at such a crazy time.
Yeah.
A handful of years ago. But I told him that day that I was on the phone. I said, hey, look, I said, Dad, I actually don't know when the next time I'm going to talk to you, because this is just so bizarre. But I just want you to know that whatever happened between you and Mom, like, that's on you guys. I welcome you back into my life, but there's going to have to be a lot of, like, stuff.
Boundaries and processing.
Yeah, and it just took time. And so to be honest with you, I was on the FaceTime with him like a couple weeks ago. And
stop.
Yeah, and just, you know, he's just seeing these kids, and I think he is now dealing with so many other of his own stuff. Like, he has a sense of, like, he realized he's missed so much, not only in my life, but now my, you know, the grandkids.
How many years was he out of your life for?
He left when I was 10. And he didn't come back until I was no contact, probably for like 15 years.
So when you say...
Right before I got married.
So when you say, you know, we have dads asking if they're too far gone.
Yeah.
Your dad didn't talk to you for 15 years.
Yeah.
And you're still like, hey, let's make it work.
Yeah. I think all men, like, to be honest with you, I think we have this idea of, I don't know, like, we're just talking about today in a conversation, like, I'm not like a dumb person. I would like to think that I'm not like this just dumb dad or this lazy dad.
Yeah.
But I'm not also alpha male. I want to get better daily.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know, do I want to like? There's this like idea of like, well, man, if they're gonna treat me like that, I want to, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna treat him like that too, then, because that's what he deserves.
Mm.
Well, I think we're in. I think there's a lot of things that we deserve that we probably don't get, thanks to the goodness of God.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and that's just what we believe in our home, mm-hmm. by His grace, right? And so, bro, I know that there are things that I've done that, man, like, I need for forgiveness from, right?
Yeah.
We all do. And this guy, I don't, you know, at that time, I don't know what him and mom, I know there's a handful of things that, of course, happened, but I don't know what he's been through the last 15 years. And I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve what, you know, all this stuff or not, but I'm also like, that's not my place to give. If I want, like, a part of me, I'm like, I don't want to, like, die, bro, to be honest. I know this sounds like it's intense.
Yeah, I feel like we just jump somewhere. Holy cow. But I don't want to die either.
Yeah, I don't want to die. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I want all my relationships to be good. And
when you die.
When I die.
Okay, sorry. I see what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm so, like, where did this come from? Yeah, and so I think, like, for my relationships in my life, and I'm, like, very, like, they mean a lot to me.
Mm.
There's not a lot that I have to offer, but the thing that I value the most is relationships, man. I really care for them. I really want to steward them well. And so I think in this season of my life, like, I'm like, dude, any relationships I can steward well or the ones that I truly care about, I want them to really know that. And so I fought for this relationship with my dad for a handful of years now. And so I told him, I said, I'll go as far as you want me to go, you know, with you.
Wow.
And so whatever you and mom have, that's on y'all. But for me and my life and for my kids, I want them to know that their grandpa is still around, and if you would love to, you know, but there has to be some boundaries there. I'm not just saying, hey, here's the open door.
I forgive you, but I don't forget what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I think there's always the tension of living in that, right? Like, you don't want to be stupid and you know, just invite this guy back in after not talking 15 years and allow him to live however he wants to live. But I'm also like, I think as a, you know, I want to give him the opportunity to show that, you know, to his grandkids that, you know, hey, grandpa's still around and he's doing the best that he can.
Do you think forgiveness is like you forgave him once and he's good? Or do you feel like every time you engage your dad in your thought life, like, that you have to forgive him every time?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that he still says and does that I'm like, why do you do that? Like, truly, you know, for me, I've just came to like a point in my life where I was like, I was so secure. And, you know, and maybe I've just understood that that's who he was for a time.
Mm.
Like, he is.
It's not him anymore.
Yeah, maybe that was him for a while.
It's a version of him.
But he's just like us, man. We're all people in process of growing, right? And so who I am even a year ago isn't who I am today. And so if you understand about yourself, think about how many people are going through that kind of change daily.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't want to hold him captive to, you know, who he was, but I also want to give him some accountability. Hey, you're not going to do that, you know, in this version of myself in this time.
I think that's what a lot of people, they struggle with forgiving, especially family members, especially fathers. Like, people have a hard time forgiving their dads because they think that forgiveness means forgetfulness. Like, if I forgive you, then I'm going to allow myself to be opened up to be hurt again.
Yeah.
And I love what you're saying. It's like, no, I forgive my dad. And I constantly forgive my dad. But I don't forget that this happened. And in order to protect my family, I have to make some boundaries. And I think that's so healthy, you know?
Right.
I think psychologically, like, men need to learn how to forgive each other.
Hmm.
How to forgive their dads, how to forgive their kids. Dear God, how does my 4-year-old, my 4-year-old will make me so mad out of nowhere. my 7-year-old will be sitting down drawing a picture. My 4-year-old will come up and just
Whack him.
Slap him in the back of the head.
Ugh.
Now, what are you doing? You know, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But I have to extend forgiveness to my four. It's like, you know, I want to be really quick to forgive.
Yeah.
The longer, and this has been in my life, the longer I've withheld forgiveness from someone, the more it's hurt me, not them. And sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to forgive because they don't deserve forgiveness. They deserve to be put into a corner. But the problem is like the only corner they're being put into is a corner of my mind.
Yeah.
And so they're not actually, you know, I'm the one being hurt by not forgiving, not them.
Yeah. You know, that phrase, you know, quick to forgive, slow to anger, you know, is something that I feel like I've gotten better with over the years, but I'm still working on it. I just don't want to be a person who is so angry because of my experiences. And I wouldn't, like, you know, dismiss what people are facing. I'm just saying that, like, I think you have such an opportunity to, there's so many great people that I know, you know, that are so, they're so great all the time. But I'm also like, bro, like, why are you so upset all the time? I feel like, you know, sometimes in those relationships, there's people that I know that are like, you know, kind of, you know, you kind of feel like you're walking on eggshells sometimes.
Totally.
You know, you get a sense of that.
There's like a clear tension in the room.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I don't know if this is comfortable for me to be around. I'm out.
Hey, who in your life makes you the, like, what situation or what person makes you the most mad consistently in your life? Yeah, I'll say mine.
Yeah, maybe say yours.
First, the Seahawks.
Yeah.
When they make some dumb plays, it just drives me through the roof.
Yeah.
My kids, I thought I never knew I had a temper.
Yeah.
Until I had kids. And then I was like, I get mad quick.
Oh.
I don't always react to that emotion, but it's easy for me to go from 0 to 100, you know, mentally really fast.
Yeah, I think... When you're saying like that, for some, dude, it's always family stuff, to be honest. That just drives me crazy. I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
In majority of the time, it's probably something that I've done or, you know, but something that, like, well, the whole kid stuff is very real, bro.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're tired and you're just, like, wanting sleep and your kids are, you know, fighting. The whole youngest son and provoking the oldest son is so real. It's unbelievable. You guys, my second son, and Nate, you could attest this because I feel like Grayson's very similar to that. He is, my son Oliver tests Levi daily. Yep. Daily.
Yes.
And, you know, he's at an age right now where he wants to do everything his older brother's doing, which I think is so cute. But also, there comes a time and a place where you just can't be stealing his toys anymore when he's playing with it first. So Levi could be playing with something, grabbing on his own truck, doing his own thing in the corner. And here comes Oliver just, you know, watching him, trying to figure out what he's doing. Then he then realizes what he's doing. And then he snatches, bro. And then I see Levi, all right, you know, like...
Yeah, you can have it.
Have it. And then all of a sudden, you know, pins him down, like drops him.
Yep.
And then holds his, like, he does this weird thing where he'll try to hold him down a little bit, and it's such a, like, power move.
Hand on his chest.
And I'm like, holy, and he's not, like, letting go. And I'm like, so I'm kind of, like, over there. I'm kind of running over there. But now I'm kind of, like, sitting back a little bit. I'm kind of just want to see what's going down. And Oliver, you know, Oliver, he's so sensitive. We're working on that right now. He's so young. He's turning 2 in June. But I'm like, bro, you can't do that to your brother. So I'm kind of letting him kind of hash it out until it gets, like, real physical. You know, if the biting stuff happens, then I'll start pulling them off. But every now and then, it's good to let them go.
Dude, we're the same way. It's like, you know, we'll warn them. Boys, you need to stop.
Yeah.
Boys, Grayson, if you do it again, we're going to let your brother.
Yeah.
Okay, Gray. You brought this on yourself.
Give him a nice little whack.
I'll say, okay, boys, go for it. Next thing you know.
Someone is crying, and it's usually the younger one.
And I'm like, you gotta learn. So, you know, this whole thing, gentle parenting.
Yeah.
And people are like, gentle parenting makes for soft kids. No, gentle parenting doesn't mean parenting gentle children.
Yes.
It means that you're empathetic to your children, that you actually are hearing what the issue is, that you're not reacting out of emotion. I think people have a problem with gentle parenting because they're lazy.
Yeah.
Because they aren't willing to put in the effort of actually becoming thoughtful, intuitive parents.
Yeah.
They just do what their parents did.
That's it.
And so, again, clearly there's some emotion behind it because I get really frustrated, you know, we posted a TikTok and Instagram recently, and it was three things not to do when your kid is having a tantrum.
Yeah.
Right. And is, I don't know how you argue with this. Hey, when your kid is having a tantrum, you should take a deep breath. People are like, how dare you tell me to take a deep breath? Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's why your kids are soft, because I have to take deep breaths.
Yeah.
No, like, but someone wrote a comment that said, if when my kids throw tantrums, I throw hands.
Yeah.
And I looked at that comment and I'm like, first of all, we should call CPS.
Yeah.
So, hey, I appreciate that you're letting us know that you abuse your children.
Yeah.
When your kids have tantrums, your response should not be to throw a tantrum yourself.
Yeah, you got to be regulated in this stuff.
Yes.
And it takes more. I think it takes, like...
It's harder to be a gentle parent, right? And that phrase is kind of... It's kind of a dumb phrase. I don't like the term gentle parent because it does have a connotation that we're just like, okay, Sally, don't do that. You know, it's like, that's not what we're saying, but the philosophy of gentle parenting is much more about being empathetic towards your kids and actually disciplining them in a way that leads to development instead of you know, depressing emotions and having your kids not being able to process. Instead, they hide, and then later on, they expose themselves in places that are inappropriate. But I say all that to say, like, I believe in a gentle parenting philosophy.
Yeah.
But I also go like, hey, Grayson, my 4-year-old, you're gonna bring this on yourself, bro. Okay, River. Like, I'm gonna step back.
Yeah, you're gonna learn something today.
Yeah, because I'm parenting my kids with that philosophy, and at the same time, they need to understand that there's consequences.
That's it.
And if you're gonna do something, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah.
And so you slap your brother in the back of the head, Grayson, we do not do that. You know, I understand that you're frustrated, but slapping your brother in the back of the head isn't the way to do it. Let's use our words.
Yeah.
And then we can help you through this. If you slap in the back of the head again, River, if you want to stop him from slapping you, that's okay.
Yeah.
Whack.
Yeah.
Okay, Riv, you can stop him.
You know, anytime we talk about this, yeah, you're right. Every time we talk about gentle parenting on social media channels, there's always so many conversations about, like, oh, it's, you know.
It is the lamest name of a philosophy, gentle parent. As a man, it feels like.
You're raising up softies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get that. But I'm also like, you know, I wish that people would maybe just take a step back and not look at it as just for the phrase for what it is itself. But I think, you know, as a parent, like, even as just a normal human, like you, there are things that like really upsets me, truly.
Yeah.
And I have to be able to be not so emotional and regulate my emotions so I can think straight.
That's right.
Parenting is really, that's like half the battle. Like the moment my kids start screaming, bro, my natural reaction is like, stop.
Yeah,
like you, like I want to scream back.
Yep.
But dude, it takes, you know, I think it takes like amazing practice and a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're not perfect every day.
There's but Tommy, you have to like work on yourself if you're gonna do that. But Tommy, you have to actually be mature to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if we're ready for that accountability, you know. And so it's like, I think, yeah, of course, bro. It's like easy. Yeah, I want to throw hands sometimes, you guys, at 2 a.m. when my kids are crying and screaming and I'm tired of a nice little spanking every now and then won't hurt nobody. Yeah, I want to do that, but dude, it takes like a real effort, some maturity. And I think as people, and if you're gonna become a parent or if you're a parent now and you're like, hey, if you're trying to figure this out, like, welcome to the club. We are all figuring it out. Like, dude,
I'll be really clear. There's no shame.
Yeah.
No, we're not trying to belittle people, but we're trying to show you that there's a different way.
Yeah.
And it's, as parents, we have the responsibility to find the best for our children.
That's it.
And so when people use this phrase, well, my parents did it, so I'll do it. Okay, some things, that's awesome. And there's things that is the case for my upbringing. You know, my mom did certain things, and I'm like, I want to do what my mom did.
Yeah.
But it's not without interrogation.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going like, wait, why did that work for my mom?
Right.
Will it work for my situation? Great, let's do it. Hey, why did this not work? Hmm. Oh, you know, I'm not going to do that because my mom did it. I'm going to do it better. Every generation has the responsibility to send the next generation to become better people than the one before it.
Mm.
And if we only do what our parents did, then we will never progress over time.
That's it.
And that would drive me crazy. You want your kids to have the best? Then you've got to raise them to be better than you. You can't give them the same experiences you received. You've got to provide something different and better.
And that's not taking anything
away from our parents.
Right, right, right.
You know, my mom is the most amazing woman in the world. I really believe it. She did the best she could with the resources she has. Want to know what we have now? More resources.
Yeah.
So we should be parenting at a different level.
Yeah. And oh gosh, that was so well said. And I think, like, you know, when I think about that, we just don't want to, again, I think the reason, like, I think half the battle sometimes is because we just don't want to have you know, it takes so much effort, you guys, to really raise kids. It really does. And I think if we're going to become even better than our parents and, you know, and wanting to raise these kids, we have to really, like, dive into these resources, dive into why we do what we do. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be accountability to our own kids. I think, like, there is definitely a proper way to, you know, to handle certain situations for sure. And I'm not just saying, you know, sweep everything under the rug. It's all rainbows and flowers. We're way good. But what I am saying is that, hey, let's do our due diligence in trying to not only be mature, but also just have just give ourselves accountability as well, as much as we try to judge others, you know, in their own parenting stuff.
Man. Yeah. All that being said is, am I always a gentle parent? No. Do I always make the best decisions for my family? No. Do I make mistakes every single day? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're not saying that we're perfect or any parent could be perfect. Man, we all suck and we're all trying to get better.
That's it.
And, you know, we get parents who jump on and they say things like, my kids were perfect and they never misbehaved. And I'm like, no offense, but, like, it sounds like that's an issue. It sounds like something that they need to go to a therapist for. Like, if your kid never once ever stepped out of line, it's like, ooh, either...
Yeah.
There's just something going on in the background.
Yeah.
As far as I'm only 33. I'm not an expert in life by any means. I'm still young. But every single human I've ever encountered in my 33 years, every single one of them have made mistakes or had an outburst.
That's it.
And so, you know, maybe your kid is Christ or something like that. The Christ, you know, surprise, baby Jesus is in your home.
Yeah.
But that's probably not the case.
No.
And so, I don't know. All that, I think we've said all that being said, like 10 times on the podcast. Yeah. We should have a little ding counter.
Ding.
We don't have all the answers or solutions, but we just know that in order for us to be great parents, we have to get better ourselves every day.
And I think that that's a great place to really call it.
Yeah.
Because I think we are all...
Sorry. On Discord,
yes.
I asked if anyone had any questions.
Ooh, you guys, we have started a Discord channel it hasn't even been 2 weeks yet.
No.
And so if you are looking, our Discord channel is like another platform for all dads to really connect. We spend quite some time on there now these days, answering questions and just, you know, there's
asking
so many
questions,
learning. There's like so many different, so within Discord itself, we have so many different segments. Like there's a segment for dads who cook, dads who game, dads who sports. So there's a place for you in there. And so I think you should go to our social media channel, go to the link in our bio and join the Discord family because you should be a part of this community. Now, Nate, tell me about these questions that has arrived.
Okay, Harry B. from Discord asked, how to beat work fatigue to be the most present you can for your kids? It seems the past month I've had a hard time brushing off the work fatigue and not feeling like a top-notch dad. I know exactly what you're talking about. We get off work and I get home and sometimes the very last thing I want to do is to have the energy to address my kids and to be present for them. I have a few tricks and tips.
Yeah, talk to me.
Okay. Number one, and these are all super, super practical. Okay. Number one, you need to get good sleep.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult, especially for newborn fathers. And so if you're not able to get good sleep, you need to get good hydration.
Yeah.
If you can't get good sleep, you need to have good hydration. That's something you can control. Most of us, We have really bad energy levels and headaches because we don't drink enough water. My brother, he's worked at Starbucks for over 20 years, and he works at corporate. And he said a practice that they have is for every ounce of coffee they have to have at least 3 ounces of water. Or sorry, 2 ounces of water.
Wow.
And so
that's great.
You know, whatever it is. It's basically their way to protect themselves from getting dehydrated. So you want to try to work against that fatigue, get good sleep, stay hydrated. Here's another really practical one. Life, when you have kids, it goes from time management to energy management. And so where do you give the most energy in your life? Wherever that is, every other area is going to take a hit.
Yeah.
So that means at work, I'm going to give it my my best work effort, but that's not the same as my best father effort. I'm saving some energy for my family.
Right.
Some reserves, yeah. Right? Now, here's the question. How do you tap into those reserves? Because sometimes you go from work to home, especially if you're a stay-at-home parent. You go from working and then trying to, you know, flip the switch. You've got to have a buffer between work and home.
Yeah.
Where you can switch into dad mode.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of work mode. So whether that's some time alone in your car, listening to music or scrolling on your phone, going on a walk, doing 15 jumping jacks before you go inside, like find a moment before you go to your family and have like a reset moment. And I promise you, it'll help you so, so much. Two more quick ones, okay?
Yep.
I'm sorry, I got
no, go ahead.
Some advice. The next piece of advice is verbally out loud, say this phrase. Today, I'm going to give my very best to my family and my children.
That's amazing.
Like, say it out loud. You have to say it out loud. When you say it out loud, it triggers something in your brain to lock you into giving the very best to your kids. Sometimes, like, if you don't do that, you're going to go inside, you're going to make excuses, you're going to sit down on the couch, and we all know once you sit down, it's game over.
That's it.
So here's the last piece of advice. In order for yourself not to sit down, as soon as you get home, jump into an activity. It doesn't have to be a long one. You just got to jump into something. Otherwise, you'll settle down, and you won't be able to get that energy back up. So whether that's like, hey, everyone go get your shoes on, I'm almost home, let's go on a walk together. Or here's a personal favorite. As soon as you walk in the house, it's dance party time.
Yeah.
Dance party with dad. And, you know, you yell and you tell Google Home or Siri or Alexa or whatever it is to turn on the playlist. And you have a 5-minute dance party. And it allows you to switch back over, pump some energy back into your body. But I don't know. That was a long, long answer for a really short question.
I think, you know, for every podcast that we do, we should at least answer one of these questions.
Yeah.
I think that's so awesome.
So shout out to Harry B.
Yeah. Shout out to Harry B. There was another question I was just reading on here.
Yep.
And it's like from the home work from home experience, you know. There is a dad that's on here that's asking the question, you know, he's like, hey, look, I work from home. Obviously the kids are, you know, when the mom and the kids are running around, you know, it's, he's like, he's struggling because they're always in his space, you know? And so he was like, I want to, be able to still be a good dad. Of course. He's like, you know, he sounds like he's pretty present, you know, in their lives, you know, and when he's at home, he takes breaks. When the kids want his attention, you know, he'll jump off like something real quick and then he'll kind of, you know, he'll lean in there. But the question is, he's just like, how do I pretty much like become a good dad, but also I need to like kind of get some work done. And I don't know if you've ever had to work from home before, but there was a time during COVID where, it was coming out of COVID, I think, that our roles swapped. My wife was like the one working. I was home a lot. And I would say the home stuff, bro, it's so crazy actually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I feel for all the, I'm guilty of it. I used to think like being home was a little bit easier. I'm not going to lie to you guys until I was in it myself. And I said, holy cow, every single mom in this planet who does all the home stuff while dad's at work needs to have $1 million worth of coffee fund money to be able to rock and roll this show.
Same because with stay-at-home dads. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
If you're working from home and you or, you know, whatever you're doing, you need the funds to really make stuff happen. But to his question, I think like every, you know, I think there's such a balance. You know, what is it that we like? Why do we feel so guilty all the time? You know, because I get like that. I have parent guilt. You know, sometimes when I have to like, you know, step away from my kids for a little bit, I'm like, dude, I actually got to get some work done. But there is also reality to this question is that you have a job. And in order to like have a roof over your head, you got to work. That's and right. So I think it now becomes an internal conversation in your home. Like, hey, like I think, you know, from this time to this time, and even though it may be hard, but I got to get some work done here, you know? And, you know, there. So whoever's the provider, I think you guys just have to really work it out where, you know, there has to be a mutual understanding. There's nothing harder than being on different pages with your spouse.
Jeez.
Seriously.
Yes.
Like, if you're trying to make this whole thing work and you guys are on different pages, good luck.
Good luck.
You have to come to an understanding and kind of, like, what is the vision for where you guys want to head? And if you guys have the understanding that, hey, if I'm going to continue to work, if I'm going to continue to, you know, provide and, you know, then we have to have this understanding that we got to, like, I got to do this.
Yep.
And I got to step away. And it's not that I don't love our kids, but it's the fact that I got to provide for
our home. It's because I love my kids.
Exactly.
That we have to have some boundaries. Have you heard of this phrase? It's really popular. It's like a trend in the efficiency world. Have you heard of this phrase, time blocking?
Yeah, actually I have.
Right?
Yes.
So, you know, before it was like you're creating a crazy schedule. You're working for hours on end. Now what this, you know, I don't know, the research with quotations has shown us is that you're most efficient with short to moderate time blocks.
Hmm.
Throughout your day, where you work hard,
yeah,
for a short amount of time,
right,
and then you switch projects, you go have fun, you come back, and you
do it again.
A short, really intense. You know, they said our brains work better in sprints than it does in marathons.
You find that to be true?
For me personally, yeah, I absolutely. And so maybe for this question, I think it was from Hash Ali.
Yeah.
Hash Ali, yeah,
Prince
on Discord,
Ali.
Hash Ali, yeah, try time blocking, and instead of pitting the two things against them,
yeah,
you know, maybe it's like, hey, I'm gonna work for 30 minutes, and then, hey guys, we're gonna, you know, maybe that's too short, 30 minute, 40 minute, whatever it is, I'm gonna work for a blank amount of time, and then for this blank amount of time, we're gonna play really hard,
yeah,
or we're gonna do it up because when I'm working, I need my full attention to be on this.
Exactly.
And so while I give my full attention to this, then you guys have to know that when it's time for me to put this aside, I'm going to give my full attention to you. And maybe that time blocking, you know, will help you. I'm not sure exactly. I think each person has a different rhythm, but it's worked in our family. And so maybe that could work for you as well.
Well, you know what's working for you? You being a good friend.
I love you so much, Tommy. And I love all of you who listen to Dads Who Try, thank you for your reviews, your comments, your likes, your subscribes, your shares, all that fun stuff. This has been episode 58.
Let's go. We'll see you on the next episode.
All right, let's do it. We out.
We out.
Hey, that's just Dads Who Try, dog. That's just Dads Who Try. Just taking no sleep, baby. Dads Who Try.